Let's open our Bibles. All right, brothers and sisters, going back into that sweet book of Philippians. And last week, and go ahead and open up to chapter 2. But last week, the Lord, I believe, so filled us with such love in the unity that we're going to speak of tonight, in the unity in Him. It's Him. It's always Him and nothing but. Remember that. When there's any profit made, any gain, any increase, it's always going to be Him. But we rejoiced in verses 5 through 8 last week in beginning that study in chapter 2. And I believe you see why the Lord had put that on my heart, the Spirit leading us to start there. But we saw last week that beautiful, all-loving, all-surrendering to the perfect will of the Father, that mind, as it says there specifically in verse 5, and you think of the call that we have, the gift that's there, it's ours. If we'll just let that mind, let this mind, my mind, Jesus Christ is saying here, let this mind be in you. We don't work at it. You don't be good for it. Oh, I don't like to say that because what an insult, huh? It's even beyond that. But you have His life through salvation. And I appreciate the Lord how, again, He's just all perfect. And how week after week, and I pray that we would never tire of it, but we'll see the perfect pattern of God in the message and the messages that He brings, because these are His messages. I hope you know that. I truly, by God's grace, a lot of people would say, well, I know that. No, I don't sit out there and think of what's going to happen next and happen next and happen next. It doesn't work that way. God called me to minister His word. He said, this is my ministry, son. You're a mouthpiece by my grace and my power and my might alone, I'll do the work. Now, if you'll obey that and yield, and I'll give you the grace to do it, it'll be a wonderful blessing to your life and to many. And I believe that, again, His grace performs that for us in this meeting. But all He's saying to us now is to yield to who I've made you in me. Isn't that something? Just be. I appreciated Sister Michael saying it so sweetly, perfectly, and I know that's just the mind of Christ in her taking over. Just be. Be me. I'm in you. Praise the Lord. I don't think about it. I don't wonder about it. I believe it by faith. Amen? Amen. And He performs the good work. So let this mind full of grace and truth, the mind of perfect peace, let it be in you. And as the Holy Spirit so sweetly convicted us last week, it's in knowing this, brothers and sisters, and truly in verses 5 through 8, it's in knowing what He did, in knowing who He is, and knowing, oh, how sweetly, what He became for us. Remember, He did that for us. All because of the joy that was set before Him. Isn't that wonderful? He did it for us, but all because of the joy that was set before Him. You mean something to God. That's the biggest understatement there could ever be. But you absolutely mean something to God. Know that you're loved. Know that you're so loved. Know that you're thought and doted upon every moment. And it's not just now, but before He ever set a star in heaven, He saw you. He set out a plan, a perfect plan for you to win God's very best. I was rejoicing the other day. A brother is in my office, and you pray one for another. And like I said, pray that people just believe the Word of God. I said, come on, we got to believe what He's brought us into. Come on, apprehend by His grace. That's what I want to preach, the full counsel of God. And that full counsel is to preach His grace, and the grace is to apprehend His very best, to press on toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and not miss it, to be ready. Amen? Amen. And how He's placed us in this time, and how He's placed us in this age, and how He's just covered us and immersed us, hallelujah, to abound in the grace of God, and to drink it up, and to let it abound in us. And how wonderful. But it's believing it. It is receiving it and being who Christ has already made us to be. Now, brothers and sisters, He did it all because of the joy that was set before Him. But we also know that we did not deserve a thing in that, did we? The only thing that we deserved, I hope we understand this, was an everlasting death, and a horrible one at that. But God, isn't that something? Amen. But God, amen, amen, amen. And His surpassing love for man gave the beautiful, only begotten Lamb of God, that through His life we might have life, and then with this mind, even have life more abundantly. Amen? See, that's the difference in Christians and ones that are growing, is all Christians have His life, have His perfect life. Amen? But very few Christians operate and live the abundance of life because they don't want to receive the mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ will take you right into verses 6 through 8 that we read last week. And it will bring you to that place of complete surrender, complete humility. Amen. Not because of you, but because of the life of Jesus Christ in you. All right, let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, this is some pretty amazing stuff we got here. Amen? And we know what we just read could never be apprehended by self. The only thing that could be apprehended is maybe the bad parts of verses 3 and 4. But certainly not verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord. Amen. He's great. And His word is awesome. But with Christ in us, brothers and sisters, all of this lives in us. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens of Christ. We have been blessed with this. It's there. All that potential. All that wondrous yielding, surrendering, receiving of the full power of God. It is there because of the life of Christ. And it lives and is alive through faith. Believing. Amen. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. See, I just, again, it is just so beyond. See, believing that in Christ, brothers and sisters, in Christ and through Christ, we can do all things because He strengthens us. And it's His grace that strengthens us, isn't it? Amen. It's unmerited. It's unearned. But it's there. It's just not just there, but it continues to flow out and to pour out. And the much the more, as we see that day approaching, because it is our all-sufficiency, and it's always, and it's in all things, so that we can superabound in every good work. Every good work. Praise the Lord. And He's performing each and every one of them in us through His grace. Now, and even this incredible unity and fellowship that we're talking about here tonight. But I've heard it said many times, regarding this text, you see, we've got to stoop, and we've got to get low, and we've got to. See, whenever you hear a "we got to," that's usually a red flag moment. We got to condescend. Yes, that is all true. But as we started earlier, remember, we could not do any of that. And all of that is only performed in us by Christ Jesus. Because He lived it. He died it in verses 6 through 8 as we read, and it's in His life, praise God, in us that that is performed. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to come to the point of realizing who we are in Christ. That again, the moment that we receive Christ as Savior, no matter how we feel, no matter what we think, no matter how bad we think we fail, you died. You died. You don't. That life didn't live no more. And now Christ liveth in me. And the life I live, not hope to live, not might live, you accepted Him. You cannot go back. You are born again. You tell that to a baby. Come on. Okay, baby, you're not going to be human anymore. You just go back. Now just stay with me. But you know the point. How absurd. This is even beyond that. You're born of God. Hallelujah. Your life is faith. Now, come on. Your life is believing God. Now, come on. Your life is trusting God. Hallelujah. And that's what this is all about, brothers and sisters. And that's what this study and that's what this word is. Realizing that we are in Christ and realizing as His body. And we have been made into His body. Praise God. That we are one in Him. Galatians, we read this on Sunday, chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know that there's still so many of my Christian brothers that happen to be born a Jew. And they're going to still go ahead and practice all of these things and do all of these things to keep their Jewishness. And I read in this word that, wait a second, you're all just the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And there's neither Jew nor Greek. Now, I'm not just going to pick on my Jewish brethren. The Lord's going to point out to ones that are bond nor free. See, we can even get to dividing one another with wealth and things like that, can't we? Oh, well, you know, that Christian, you know, those Christians, they live up on top of the hill and they go to the nice church. And us Christians that don't live down up on the top of the hill and we live in the bottom of the valley, you know, we go to the poor church. There's but one church. Amen? Come on. Now let's even go a step further. And how we, again, want to yield to flesh often. And we're going to go dividing ourselves by male and female. See, we can't understand because the females are this way and the females don't understand because the males are this way. Get over that. It'll defeat your life. I assure you that will defeat your life. And there's many of God's precious people that will get on to specifics about the male and the female. Yes, God did make us naturally speaking different, but who are you? I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you a citizen of heaven or are you not? You're a citizen of heaven. Know that you're seated together with Him. Amen. God knows these things. God puts you in that body specifically. But in Christ, we are one. And there is no difference. And the unity, praise God, is in the body of Jesus Christ. And that is the unity that we have. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. Yes, beyond even you think about our natural body. And we've heard many times, you have an infection, and I've had some as of late. And I'll tell you what, whether it's in your toe or your finger or your leg, your whole body grieves. It's not just for the toe. Sometimes I wish it was. I'd give off that little one. But no, the whole body aches. Look at about a little tooth. You ask that big fella right there. He was telling me about his tooth. He said, look, I'll give you my whole mouth if we can get rid of this pain. That little tooth in that big body. And it caused that whole body to grieve, didn't it, brother? Amen. It ached. But what about, let's talk the flip side too. How about when this mouth gets to eat the best apple pie or the best tasting homemade ice cream? You ever ask that Debbie to cook you up something? She can cook. A lot of you can. And the whole body rejoices. I don't know about you, but maybe I enjoy food too much. My whole body gets excited about good food. And this whole body feels good. Man, I'm telling you, even when I'm sick and sometimes I get some good chicken noodle soup, at least for a moment, this whole body felt good. That's good soup. Amen? Amen. How much more the body of Christ? You see what I'm saying here? More importantly, what the Word of God is telling us. We are in it together, brothers and sisters, because we are in His body. We are His body together in Christ. And we rejoice and give thanks even the much the more as we rejoice in how compacted and tightly fit we really are. not to get uncomfortable with one another, because it's in Christ. And God has done it that way. And praise God, when we rejoice in that compacting and tightly fit and understand truly how glorious this body is, we take care of it, don't we? And how do we take care of it? We allow the grace and love and truth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to flow freely through us. Getting rid of ourself, getting rid of our self wants and our self pleasures and all of those types of things. Letting that just go. Letting the fullness of God fill us. And then by God's grace, I can be used to, by God's anointing, to touch your life and for you to touch mine. Praise God. We are that glorious body to Him. Now, brothers and sisters, we read here in this wonderful Philippians, this is Paul's joy. He said that in the very, very beginning. He said, you guys are always a joy to me, every thought, from the first to the last. And why? Because their fellowship was always in and continues in the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why it's right. That's why it didn't get off track. They didn't go seeking a purpose, a point, a political contention, a cause. This is our quest or our journey. No, it was all about the truth. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He tells us so clearly. Brothers and sisters, sure, we look upon the needs of our brothers and sisters, but this is talking about our fellowship in Jesus Christ and in the gospel. This is the most important thing. This is about our eternal. Just like Jesus said, He said, the poor you're always going to have with you. They're going to be with you. That doesn't mean we just cast them off. No. And by God's grace, I'm thankful for even certain programs. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not trying to be political, but you should be thankful that we are a country that looks to people that are in need. It is a good thing. But even that can go awry. And you know why it always does? Because you don't look to the Father. You don't look to the Word of God. We think we're going to do it in ourselves, but it doesn't work that way. Brothers and sisters, whether I gave all my money to the poor, whether I gave my body to be burned, whether I could speak with the tongue of men and angels, whether I could have faith to move mountain, if I don't have the love of God, it profited me nothing. And what is the love of God? It's Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He's the Word. This is what it is. It's the Word of God. And this is what we've been called to grow in. And this is where this fellowship is. And this is where the caring and the compacting and this encouraging is. It's in the gospel of Christ. And this is Paul's joy. And by the grace of God, I'll tell you what, in this meeting, I think we're getting it. I believe that we're receiving that this is our joy too. It is, amen. There's a sweetness. It's not because of any person, it's because of Christ Jesus. That's it. But by His grace, we're moving on. We're going on in the things of Christ. We're leaving the things behind. We're forgetting those things which are behind. We're realizing we're growing up. We're not acting like children anymore. As we read on Sunday, we're not operating as servants. Praise the Lord. He told me to go boldly into the throne of grace. Show me that it's all mine, Lord. I see it. I believe it. Now show it to me. It's mine. We just sang about it. It's not mine if. It's not mine when. It's mine now, and it is mine. Do you believe what we read on Sunday? Do you believe that you're Lord of all or not? Come on. Amen, you do. The grace of God in you does. And not because of us, but because of Christ in us. That's it. But praise the Lord, may we be bold in professing and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But here we go. This joy, brothers and sisters, that we have is in loving one another. The unity that we have is in Christ Jesus. We richly supply one another with all the supplying of truth and grace when we give everything over to Christ, when we allow His mind to completely take over. See, Paul shows us here there is more joy in loving one another and caring for one another than there ever could be in trying to please ourselves. And that's the truth. It's not, again, how man thinks about caring for one another You follow what I'm saying? I've seen people, truly, and I'm sure you have too, they've sold everything that they've had. And they'll support poor and build homes and things like that. And we can all say, hey, that's a good thing. That's great if you decide that. But if you ask them truly to invest one real dime in the truth, they won't do it. This is exactly what he's talking about here. Where is your investment? Yeah. Man's ways aren't God's, and God's ways aren't man. You know this. And we got to face this. Brothers and sisters, may we always remember, as the Word of God tells us, to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And he's laying out here before us the evidence, the proof, and the result of letting the mind of Jesus Christ rule and reign in us. And the evidence of that is going to be harmony. It's going to be harmony. It's going to be the most beautiful symphony you'll ever hear. It is. Because the perfect love of God will reign. Yeah. And you know when it does. And you know when it doesn't. You do. You know the difference. One is belief and the other is unbelief. One is yielding and one is wrestling. And God help us surrender. Lord, convict me quick when I start to wrestle with it, when I start wanting to have it my way. God, please, let this mind take control, and let me descend with you as you did in verses 6 through 8. Now, let's remember this. Where is Paul writing this from? Prison. And a stinky one at that. Not at the ones they build today. This was a very, very, I'm not saying that they're not miserable places today, they are, but this was as miserable beyond probably what we could imagine. And you think, as he's saying here, my encouragement, my comfort, my joy, my rejoicing, he isn't saying is, come break me out of here and get me released, which probably most would have said, huh? But he's not saying that at all. He's saying all of my encouragement and my comfort and love, and he goes on to say, fellowship of the Spirit, even my most fruitful of mercy to my heart, let the mind of Christ be in you. And let the mind of Christ be in you such that verse 2 truly becomes yours. That it reigns in you. That it rules in you. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and being of one mind. He goes on to say, fulfill. Brother Hill so sweetly says, fill full my joy. Be like-minded. See, this isn't Paul saying, be like me. This isn't Paul saying that at all. Oh, no. See, there was nothing, naturally speaking, of this that has anything to do with Paul. But this does have everything to do with Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters. This like-mindedness is the mind of Jesus Christ. And this mind of Jesus Christ is freely offered to us, isn't it? Do you see how without excuse we are? Do you see now why we need the grace of God, though? Because we so quickly, this natural mind can wander into a lot of things very quickly and very harmful. Amen. Slow to wrath. God help you. God help me. I know this. I live this every single day. That's why, by God's grace, we need to abound in it. Time after time, moment by moment. How the grace of God sustains us. Amen. Praise his name. That's exactly it, brothers and sisters, what he's getting at. But believe that by grace through faith it will reign in you. Be of that mind. Let us understand that we are the sons of God, and that mind of Christ is freely offered to us. And what is that mind, brothers and sisters? It's the Word of God. Amen. It is. It is the Word of God. And that was the mind that lived and died, became sin for us. Amen. Entered the depth of hell for us. And praise the Lord, was raised and seated at the right hand of God. That's the mind. That's the all-powerful, all-knowing mind that, Father, thy will be done, is the best way. Having your way, Father, in my life, thy will be done, is it. And this mind, let it be in you. Do you see how powerful this is? Do you see how mighty this is? That you can, by God's grace, and I can, by God's grace, live all the complete and perfect will of God. Because it's His provision, because it's His plan, and it's because it's His desire. He can give that to us. And He can just allow me, if I'll be just completely stupid in myself, believe it or not, to believe it and to receive it and to have the power of His might to have it performed in my life. Now, this mind of Christ, brothers and sisters, is where the truth becomes truly our fellowship. It's the singleness of purpose that causes us to want to be. See, it gives us the willingness to be full overcomers in Christ Jesus, doesn't it? Amen. My mind couldn't do that. My mind will not go there. But His mind, praise God, takes me there. And it presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, being of the same love. There is only one love. It's the love of God. And that is that love that's without hypocrisy. If you think that you have the love of God and you're picking and choosing who you want to love, that's not God's love. I have news for you. That's not His love. His love loves. His love loves so that it sends His only begotten Son right into the midst of sinners and dies for them. Amen. That's the love of God, brothers and sisters. But again, that's this mind of complete love that loves everybody, that loves every member of the precious body and loves them so that this love wants them to win God's very best. Huh? Oh, I love that brother and sister. I love them so much. I just don't want them to be in this church. I can love them when I don't go to Living Waters Tabernacle, but boy, when I go to Living Waters Tabernacle, I just can't love them. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? That's each and every one of us without the mind of Christ. We'll be duped. We'll be lied to by the enemy. He'll get us to acting. The enemy's mind is crazy. It's confused. Does. I said, all those ones, they're just acting like animals. And then I stopped myself. I said, I'm so sorry to disgrace and to insult animals like that. Huh? It's the truth. It's beyond it. It's beyond it. It really is. But see, but for the grace of God, there go you and there go me. And we'll go that way, brothers and sisters. We know this because, you know why we know this? Because God's word tells us so. Not because, oh, I've been there. Yeah, I've done that. No, it's not because of experience. It's because God's word tells me so. And if God has spared you from anything, it's because of His grace. If God has allowed you to go through something and delivered you, it was because of His grace that gave you the strength. Amen? Amen. All right, now, let's get it right. But brothers and sisters, the one thing that we do know is that the love of God lives in victory. The love of God never lies in defeat. Do you know that? See, the love of God always arises. It'll arise. Yeah. I've had Christians say, oh yeah, I've never been defeated. I'm always in the love of God. Well, you're a liar. Come on. Those are strong words. Well, I'm getting a little bolder in the Lord. I don't have much time. I really don't. I'm a young man, but I don't know. And I know my life's but a vapor, and I want to preach the full counsel of God. And I do. And I want to preach it in love, but I want, by God's grace, for my life to be awake and your life to be awake. I want you to be loving the appearing of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and not be tossed to and fro, and not trying to just slough something off and be slothful, but to be fully purposed, to be a lover of the race, praise the Lord, to love, to run. I never thought that. I said, man, I don't really like to exercise much, but praise God, I'm thankful I love to run for the prize of the high calling. Amen. Now, there is nothing more powerful than love. Love overcomes every circumstance. Love, as we said earlier, sent the Savior to earth on the cross into the depths of hell. And the power of God, the love of God, sat him right at the right hand of the Father. And the Word of God tells us right here to be of one accord in it. Unity, brothers and sisters. Unity of the Spirit, not man's unity. See, man has no unity. Man tries to have an appearance of unity. They try to bring things together, but whatever man tries to bring together will go more apart. It'll become more divided. We see it every time. It happens over and over. And our world accelerates in how divided it is. And it's going to accelerate in how divided it is until one day they're going to be lobbing all these bombs all over the place. It's going to happen. The earth rocked to and fro like a drunken man. The prophet saw it. It's going to happen. Amen. It's exciting. All these countries getting nuclear war, bombs and things like that. It actually is kind of exciting. It's a sad thing, I understand, but it's the Word of God. Know this. Don't be fearful of these things. You said, you're crazy. What are you saying? I'm preaching the Word. And I want to preach the Word of God. And I understand if God didn't shorten those days, there'd be no flesh on this earth. You have to understand that the evil of man is waxing worse and worse. It's not going to change. The only thing that's going to change man is the gospel of Christ. War is in the heart of man. I don't care how educated, and actually, the more educated man gets, the more warring they get, the more power hungry they get, the more greedy they get, the more destructive things that they even develop. And why? You'd say, well, my goodness, they should understand they're such, you know, mental giants that they should try to protect and cure. Yeah, there certain things come out of it with medicines and things of that nature, but it can only go so far because it's called sin. Man can't help himself. He can't. The only one that can help man, praise the Lord, was in that little manger. A little helpless babe. Amen. Isn't it cool? I just love it. I just am so thankful for God and how He did it all and how wonderful and how stupid man is and man looks when we don't look to God. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, our unity is in Christ's mind, it's in His Spirit, and it's in the Word of God. See, our fellowship in the gospel of Christ. That's why we have unity. We may be able to pretend for years and go along and say, oh yeah, we're happy in this and happy in that, but it's going to end if it's not in the gospel of Christ. And it will. And it'll end in ruin. It'll be that wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be things that will be so-called good. No, that's wood. And it burns. And God help us, the small things, the gold, silver, and the precious stone. That's why it's so valuable to man, because there's not too much of it, and they try to get it as much as they can, but there's not a whole lot. It's limited. Well, I'll tell you what, God's not limited, but it's so precious that He gives us this treasure in earthen vessels. It is mighty and amazing. Ephesians 4 tells us, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is the heart of the readied wife, brothers and sisters. She doesn't toil. Listen. Just like that flower, it just grows. It just is what it is. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. Doesn't fret. You think about that sweet woman. She prepares her body for the wedding, for her husband. She anoints, praise the Lord, with the oils and the incense. Now, this just isn't for herself. We're talking about the body. Amen? You see? The supplying and the rich supplying. I pray that we know who we are in Christ and that we leave it to Him, to what He's supplying through you, not because of you. And you may never even know it, but God help you to be satisfied to take the place in the body that He has placed you, because you ain't going nowhere else. The elbow can desire to be the ear, but I'll guarantee that elbow's staying right there. And when that elbow rejoices that it's an elbow, it's a beautiful thing. And the elbow doesn't glory in itself. The elbow glories and says, oh, look, I'm being used so sweetly to help those fingers and that hand and that wrist and to be able to bend it over here to do this. And then the ear doesn't want to be the eye because the ear can hear things that the eye might not be able to pick up, and vice versa. See, the eye can see things afar off that maybe the ear couldn't hear, but the ear can hear something behind me that the eye can't see. Isn't that amazing about the body of Christ? Think about that. Think about who each and every one of us are. How perfect your natural body really is. I know all we like to do is think of, well, I'd like to have that different and this different and that different. Well, there we go, even with the body of Christ sometimes. Oh, I wish that brother wasn't in my life. Oh, why is that sister there? Oh, my ears are too big. My legs are too short. My middle's too round. How about we realize how wonderfully and perfectly made His body is? And by loving, that's nurturing and supplying. It's amazing what the body can become, huh? Till we all come. You see the message that He has for us? I pray that we really see this, because we won't win His best without it. We won't. This message here isn't something we could ever attain to by ourselves. We couldn't even remotely get there. But by God's grace and His life in us, and by believing Him, that mind takes over and He causes us to grow up and to become everything that He's talking about here, that He sees for us. Now, brothers and sisters, it goes on to say, be of one accord and of one mind. And I see here such a pressing in Paul's voice and in the Spirit, bringing us back to the Word over and over, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. See, the mind of Christ, brothers and sisters, is where all peace, listen, all rest, all unity, all victory lies. When we meditate and fellowship in this gospel, there's no opportunity for the little foxes to come about. There just isn't. You know those absolute, perfect, incredible times? You know what I'm saying? Let's just live it. Because it's not about that moment. It's not about that time. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's just there. And by God's grace, like I say, it didn't have to be here on Sunday. It didn't have to be at Ponderosa Camp when we go there for the week. It didn't have to happen when we go out to this. By God's grace, let that precious unity in the mind of Christ and in His Spirit, let's just let it rain. And you know what? By God's grace, I believe it rains. It does rain. And we need to stand in defense of that raining. That God help us to be quick in love. When the little foxes start to come in to invade, and it starts here in our minds, things that are outside the fellowship of the gospel of Christ, God, stop it. Stop it. I don't want any of my thoughts in here, and I don't want any of your thoughts in here. We want His mind. We want His truth and His grace and His love and His peace and His rest. We want Him. Because it is Him. This is His work, and we are His workmanship. When we meditate and fellowship in it, brothers and sisters, it is wonderful. But then verses 3 and 4, He warns us here, when we give over to our thoughts, even for a moment, how much spoiling can wreak such havoc? And it happens. Listen to again what it says there in verse 3. Let nothing, nothing. Don't give it a place. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. See, these are the primary tools of the devil's, brothers and sisters, because the devil uses strife and vain glory to divide us every single time. Strife means to put oneself forward. Strife means to put my values, my feelings, my satisfaction. Huh? Superseding the fellowship in the gospel of Christ. And we've seen it time and time again. And brothers and sisters, we have all given over from time to time to want to do that. But God help us to stay with the stuff. Amen. Just stay with the stuff. We don't need any new stuff. We got it all. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Anything else you try to bring in, read the Word of God. Those children in the wilderness and all the way through, they showed us time and time again, whenever you bring in something foreign, it spoils it. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's just that way. Sin does begat sin. A little legality continues to grow. It was amazing. There was a brother, and I'm so thankful that God is encouraging such fellowship, but my heart is breaking. Brothers and sisters, a step away from the truth and not standing for the things of Christ multiplies. And it does. Don't think it doesn't. And time and time again, I do see these things. I know ones that have fellowshipped so sweetly in the bride of Christ. Being in a meeting such as this, or even in this meeting, rejoicing that the marriage of the Lamb is coming and the wife has made herself ready, standing and testifying about it. But then something happened, a strife, a vainglory. Somebody rubbed me wrong. Somebody didn't say the thing that I wanted to hear that day. The setup of the enemy each and every time, isn't it? I looked to the vessel and I wasn't looking at the treasure. How could God's people act that way? Do you know he was a preacher? Well, I still think he is. And I still think, well, I don't need to go there. I think you get the picture. But what happens is then there's a compromise because there's a step away from the truth, and the excuse is whatever it's going to be. Because it was a step away from the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. And then it becomes a settling for something less. Oh, okay. Well, the word is still preached, or whatever it may be, and thank God for however Christ is preached. But hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. To the church of Ephesus, oh man, I love the works. I love the effort, so sincere, but I have one thing against you. You left your first love. I'm talking about the message. I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the message of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. To win him. As Paul said, I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel of Christ. And this is the gospel of Christ. Well, then that starts to fade. And then can you imagine, well, did I really, what was that tongues thing all about? Oh, I'm sure I was saved and filled. Ah, it's all the same thing. It's the truth. That's what happens. And then as I said to somebody here recently, I said, and you know what the next step is? Is salvation really, is it eternal? Or is it contingent upon my faithfulness? And it does. Glory begats glory. And the only glory you're going to find is in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. Yes, it is. That's it. It's the only place you're ever going to find it. So when we depart from that, however far, I'll assure you that the robbery has just begun. And it's the truth. It's not to scare you or to anything. It's just preaching the gospel. And that's exactly what happens to every single one of our brothers and sisters in the Word of God. And Jesus Christ remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. All right. We'll get back in the Bible study. All right. Now, that was just a long side note, wasn't it now? All right. Praise his name. But brothers and sisters, stay with the stuff. Not to become self-consumed. Not trying to satisfy our own, and this is truly, haughty spirit. Haughty spirit, because that's what happens. We have a haughty spirit when we don't want to go with the truth. That's exactly it. We're coming up. We're not coming up against flesh and blood. You're coming up against God. You're trying to fight God. You see how insane that is. It's not going to work. You can wiggle. You can fuss. You can do all these things, but you're not going to fight against him. But we think as spoiled children, we're going to do something and have our own way. He'll allow a lot of things, but brothers and sisters, you'll be sorry. You'll wish you had. But we do. We yield over to a haughty spirit and sacrifice the body of Christ. And that lays right into vainglory. We start to seek the applause and the acceptance of man. And when I say man, I'm not talking about necessarily groups and lots of people. I'm talking about self-man. I don't want to satisfy my belly. I pray to God, Lord, don't let me want to satisfy my belly, because I'm going to tell you, most times when I'm satisfying my belly, it wasn't the perfect will of God. The Word of God is sweet to the mouth and bitter to the stomach. It's oftentimes very opposite of what I thought was going to be. It's interesting how opposite I thought it was going to be. So that's why I quit thinking. No, really, I do. When I start thinking, I say, stop that. Stop. Let me put my expectation in Christ. Well, then it's just, you stop thinking, then you're never going to be disappointed. You're getting it. You're right. Oh, I can't talk to you anymore. I remember that guy said that to me. I can't, you're frustrating me. I said, no. I said, it's the gospel of Christ that's convicting you. Praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, here it is. Vanity and pride ruin us. It lays a shipwreck. But the cure for it is when we see self start to rise up. It says here in our sweet scripture, in lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind. And there's that mind again. See, it's not, even in the natural, it's not, okay, I'm going to think about something here. Okay, what would my mind think to do? Wouldn't that be kind of silly? What would my mind think to do? No, my mind just thinks and does it. Amen? See, to me, that's the same thing as thinking, okay, what would Jesus do? Let this mind be in you. Okay? Amen. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. And we live by faith. And as we understand and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, and this is grace. The Word of God is grace. This is the grace. We did not deserve this. This is incredible. This is His Word. This is what He's instilled and implanted in us, is this life. And we give over to this and we grow in this, brothers and sisters, and praise the Lord by His Spirit, by His might. We respond and we operate in the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, the glory of Christ in me, it condescends to men of low estate. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 tells us, all of you, I love this. See, first of all, it started to tell the younger to be subject to the elder, you know, and then it just goes on to say, no, all of you, be subject one to another. Let's just get it right. Praise the Lord. Let's not think anybody better than themselves. Let's just be subject one to another. Clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And see, God is bringing trials in our lives, brothers and sisters, every single one of us right now, to bring this to pass in us. And He is. So perfectly, it's happening. And the pleading is just the same. Apprehend this humility. Apprehend the humility that's in 6 through 8, that's in my mind. Realize this, brothers and sisters. Understand who I am, what I became for you. Let that grip and strike your heart. Let this mind come in and give you that. To understand, praise the Lord, that I am everything. And truly, without Christ, we're nothing. We're nothing. Absolutely nothing but in Christ. Hallelujah. What He's performing. What a mighty performance. So this call is to surrender, to give up this dirty, rotten self, and to let God reign, to let His love reign. We're going to read later on about dwelling in murmurings and disputings. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to murmur as those children in the wilderness did, we're never going to enter into the promise. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to dwell. We're not going to grow up as that child was encouraged to do in the palace under the tutors and the governors and understand what Lord of all really is. It's right before you. Are you going to walk around it or are you going to walk in it? And not just walk in it, but walk all through it and enjoy every bit of it and understand exactly what it means. And brothers and sisters, that isn't, and I want you to understand, it's not going to be in a seminary. It's not going to be in a Bible college. It's not going to be, it's in receiving the Word of God, but it's growing in grace, brothers and sisters, and it's allowing the Spirit, by my Spirit, to bring this to you. It is. It is. Yielding to it. Let the life that now lives in you break forth. Break forth in the most holy faith, the mind of Christ reigning. And then, brothers and sisters, we will care for one another even as Christ Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it because of his life in us. Till we all come. See, we always kind of bring that back, doesn't it? See how Brother Paul and how that comes out so sweetly. Don't you want me to win God's best? I hope you do. I want you to win God's best. And I hope that we all want one another to win God's best. And I hope we'd want every Christian there is to win God's best. And you know what? Not just every Christian, by God's grace, as he said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of winning God's best. That's the heart we need to have. Now, we understand all men aren't going to be saved, and very few are going to win God's best. But it's not for me to pick and choose, and it wasn't for God to pick and choose either, in a sense. He said he would that all would. But whom he foreknew, because he knows. Amen? Oh, thank God for the predestination of his love. Amen. So here we go. We'll close it up. How much do you love your brother? Don't answer that. Those are good things to keep before God. But in all seriousness, how much do you love your brother? And truly talking about all of them. And I'm talking especially tonight about the ones that have really hurt you. The ones that have disappointed you greater than any of them. Of all time. Whether they was your family, whether it was the church you go to, whatever it would be, how much do you love your brother? And I want you to truly, before the Lord, if there is any dissimulation, that's hypocrisy, any difference in the love that you would have for the saint that you love, maybe in such a inspired way in this meeting, if you love them any different, get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to love them the same. Not that the one would go down to that level, but that all of it would increase to the level of the fullest. Because that's how God loves us. Do you know that? God doesn't love his children differently. He loves them. Any rightful mom and dad that truly are moms and dad, they love all their children the same. Now, my brothers and sisters don't like to hear that. They don't want to believe that because I know each and every one of them think they're mom's favorite. But see, I am. No, I'm just teasing. Right, moms and dads love all their kids the same. They do. Now, they might be more pleased with what one's doing than the other. Amen. But it has nothing to do with love. And oftentimes, if there's any more love ever going out, it's to that prodigal kind of, isn't it, in a way? Yeah. The one that needs it, so, huh? Isn't that awesome? God help us not to be like those dirty ones. That woman came in, and they're at the feet of Jesus. They said, oh, if he knew what she was, he wouldn't let her touch her. He knew exactly what they were thinking, and he said, well, I'll tell you what. All I know is from the moment that she came in here, she has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and to dry it with her hair. The prodigal's brother said, well, I'm not going to eat with him. And you know what? He didn't. I'm sure he didn't. Not in that attitude, he wouldn't. But I want to have the heart of the prodigal that says, no, I don't expect to be anything, but the one thing I do know is my dad loves me. And I'm not going to be probably anything but just a servant. Maybe feeling a little sorry for myself. But I love the humility. But at least I'll be home with my dad. And then dad came. And he brought the best rope. Not just a rope. And the ring. And the kiss. And the feast was waiting all the time. It wasn't like he had to just get it together. Well, love, love, love. Interesting that we're talking about Philippians. Interesting that gives over to the Philadelphia Saints too. Lovers of the race. Brotherly love, full of it. Full of it. Overflowing. A brother in Christ is just that. Always remember it. A son of God. Amen? And Christ in me cannot help but love them. And Christ in me cannot help but want God's best for their life. I count you better than myself because that's what Jesus' life did in me. His mind and his thoughts and his favor has been imputed into my life. Into this dirty, rotten guy's life. And it's amazing. I heard it many, many times. But there was a moment it came vividly true and clear. I guess I took the peach and chomped that one for myself. The love of God makes you love everybody. And that's the end of that story. That's it. There's nothing more to say. Truly. Listen to that. The simplicity of it. The power of it. The gravity of it. You think you have the love of God? Well, if you do, the love of God makes you love everybody. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.